How's that?
That's it.
Not good. Okay. Well, apologies for falling apart before your eyes, but this is pretty much what's going on with me these days. So I put everything on my phone to make it easier. Crowheart. In the rain, on the wire, on the cold bare branch, shadow in the autumn sky. Crow sees me drunk, caused by name like a curse. Crow hearts, lonely like mine. I love crows. They find their way frequently into my homes, but they have a tendency to be judgmental. The dead stay dead. Everything is sad again. Everything is sad. I can only be happy in pieces. Never is forever. Always down to this. The dead stay dead. And everything is sad. On April 6, 2020, my wife died suddenly of a heart attack at the age of 61. And it was sort of right in the beginning of the pandemic. And we weren't even sure if COVID may have something to do with it. But it just happened. And I've been living with it ever since. No service, no funeral, nothing like that. So it's colored a lot of my writing, a lot of my poetry, and it's led to poems like this. Empty hands. I dream you naked in a world where touch is forbidden. This is death. This is longing. Empty hands squeezing in. So you find ways of coping, and there's some people and other animals that help you along. And a dog can sometimes cheer you up. And my dog certainly has a lot of energy. And so I wrote this poem for her. It's called Shaking Sticks. Today, a happy dog bouncing in the yard won't allow me to consider suicide or murder. The sky's a cliche blue, and it's warm for November. Shaking sticks, she wants to play. Why not? Well, is that the order? I was feeling kind of shitty. I was feeling depressed. I was feeling sorry for myself. And pity just kept running up with me, these sticks shaking them in my face. And I was like, look, you know, leave me alone. Can't you see I'm upset? And then it clicked. Yeah, she can see I'm upset. And this is why she's bringing me these sticks. You know, I mean, she tried to talk to me in her language, so that kind of taught me to open up a little bit. I tend to write a lot of short stuff, if you don't know that already. So. Even light. Sunbeams warm the room, but skunk my bottled beer. Everything. Even light as a downside. Other men. I write these poems so dark and cold, even when I'm sitting in the sun. Other men are doing things. I'm here. I'm not other men. One of my perverse joys is lying in bed or in my recliner and listening to other guys mow their lawn. I know that I'm not doing that. And even my neighbor Brian mowing my lawn. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Brian's out there. For some reason, it just brings me joy. So I have an artist friend named Amy, and she had a brother who was an artist as well as a poet. And within the past year, he committed suicide. So he left behind, you know, a lot of art and writing. But he also left behind a lot of empty journals and sketchbooks. And Amy started doing paper sculptures out of these empty pages and showing some pictures of them. And I just thought they were beautiful. And it was a great way of dealing with her grief. So I wrote this poem called Paper Wings for Amy. She builds dreams from empty pages. Someone's gone without goodbye. What went unsaid, shaped and folded. Grief and wishes, riding paper wings. Wasn't that long ago we passed the landmark of having 8 billion people in the world. So this is called Big Blue World. 8 billion people on the planet. How could anyone be wrong? But it happens. It happens all the time. It hurts most in the morning. No wife, no confidant, no lover, no you. It hurts most in the morning, then sticks around and hurts all day. So I've written a lot of poems for my wife, Tammy, over the years. And I recently went back and I found the first poem I ever wrote for, 1983. 40 years ago. So we're going to see how this holds. Homecoming. And so the party ends and I, again among the last to leave, stumble out into the empty 3 a.m. streets. Caught in the street lamp's guiding glow, I pause and do a drunkard's dance. Shuffling my feet like a wounded marionette. And finally, the key in the lock, the almost silent opening of the door, my awkward tiptoe to our bed, where you lie, already many hours into your dreams. In darkness, I clumsily undress, each piece of clothing a whispered litany of thanksgiving. To lie with you now is to be assured. The tangled nest of your hair across my pillow, the sweet, unspoiled taste of your breath, the warmth of your breasts against my soiled hands. So how does that hold up? Well, I went through and I had some criticism. It is very much a young man's romantic idea of a love poem, because I'm just thinking, you know, here was Tammy who always went to bed early and I was out drinking and I'm stumbling home and I get there and I'm getting undressed. And there's nothing in there about washing my face or brushing my teeth. There's just all this, you know, I'm going to get into bed with my dirty hands and fill you up a little, honey. What do you think about that? And I think looking at it 40 years later, she wasn't really standing for it. It never happened. Nothing happened other than I got into bed, but that was about it. Here comes another crow. My friend the crow. Mortality, a fisted heart, the drag of loans, and my friend the crow, swallowing their name. If you're lucky. Young men become old men, and old men become dead. Along the way, if you're lucky, there's some pumps. Got a toss in one hydrant. Locked in the coal cellar. Dirty secrets. Anybody have an old Pittsburgh house with a coal cellar?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Carried where we go. For Megan. At the coffee booth. Beauty blossoms new each day if we fix our eyes to see it. Wisdom comes with age if we keep the door ajar. There will be pain, there will be loss. What we hold will shatter. But hearts bind in the dark. Love follows light. Friends are folks we didn't know who arrive unexpected. And never leave, carried where we go. And we're going to close out with this one. When we were getting that bad air because of the Canadian wildfires and everything, I was looking out and thinking, this is like Pittsburgh looked like when I was a kid. And it was always like this. And I had written this poem a while back, kind of about that. And about my dad and my dad's cars. My dad always had the worst cars in the world. And they would break down, different things would happen to them. And my cousin Kenny's in the back of the room here today. He came to hear me, and his dad, Uncle Kenny, came to my father's rescue on multiple occasions when he had cars that like could only go 35 miles an hour uphill and all these different things. So he was always buying the worst cars. It was nothing for him, maybe three cars in the course of a year. That's my brother, he knows too. Third hand clunker. The mill smells like egg farts, and the slaughterhouse like 10,000 brutal deaths. We're riding somewhere fun in Dad's latest used car. Mom gags as we pinch noses in the back seat. Windows cranked, we bake until safe wind. Summer in Pittsburgh, hot and stinky. To be that boy again. Bad air, a third hand clunker, and everyone's still here.